Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. Welcome, Rabbi Dr. Pearl. A pleasure to see you once again with the nice star fruit. And we're looking at unraveling the mysteries of Shekhinah. We want to thank you for this, the three-part series. Very enjoyable. And I want to thank the Goldberg family again for sponsoring the wedding of their daughter took place this past Sunday. Wish them a mazel tov, and we should have a year of smachot, and good things for all. Okay, thank you. Bakasha, Rabbi Pearl.
Hey. Okay, so yeah, it is great to be back here once again. For those of you who have been with us for all three parts of this series, thanks for sticking with us. I hope it's been enjoyable so far, and I hope we'll continue to enjoy today. And yes, our thoughts and tefillos do go out to those who are who experience damage or perhaps even a loss to their physical safety, or perhaps even those who've lost loved ones due to the storms last night. And our tefillos and our thoughts are with them. So Monday night, we will begin Rosh Hashanah. And when we come home from shul, we will take our place at a beautifully set Rosh Hashanah table. We will pick up our Kiddush cup. We will recite the Kiddush on the first holiday of the new year. And then we will recite Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech HaOlam Mashiach Chayenu V'Kiyemanu V'Yigiyanu Lazman Hazeh. It is a bracha that we are all incredibly familiar with. It is a bracha that we have all recited countless times over the course of our life. And it is a bracha that I would think for most of us seems to make perfect sense. It's not one of those things we've probably walked around struggling with, thinking about what is this? Why do we say it? What does it mean? It seems to work. We've got a new time, a new moment in our lives, right? We've been thinking about Rosh Hashanah for some weeks now. It's finally here. We make a bracha. Thank you, Hashem, for bringing me here. It seems to work quite well. And yet, Shehechiyanu was also one of those areas of halacha where when we begin to peel away the surface, when we begin to dig a little bit deeper into what it is, and particularly when we say it, what we thought we knew becomes a bit murkier, and the clarity that we had begins to disappear. So let me start right back at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, because in fact, over the course of the first 25 hours of Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to make one Shehechiyanu, we're actually going to make three. Three different times we're going to say Shehechiyanu, and there are three different types of Shehechiyanu. What are they? We named one. We say one at Kiddush. What are the other two?
Shofar.
Okay, excellent. When we blow the shofar on Tuesday morning,
candlelighting.
Okay, candlelighting is the same as Kiddush. So women say it by candlelighting and men say it by Kiddush. But the third one is going to be when?
Second night.
Okay, good. The second night. And the second night, although we make it immediately after Kiddush, we're not actually making it on Kiddush or the Yom Tov.
The new fruit.
Okay, so there already we have three different instances in which we say Shehechiyanu. We say Shehechiyanu on the Yom Tov. We say Shehechiyanu on the mitzvah of blowing shofar. And we say Shehechiyanu on a new fruit. There are other times in which we are required or it is suggested that we say Shehechiyanu. Does anybody know what those are? We have mitzvot, we have Yom Tov, we have a new fruit.
New clothes,
excellent, or new acquisition of some sort. Anything else?
Bar bat mitzvah?
Actually, no, we don't say it in a bar bat mitzvah. It's a good thought, though.
When we haven't been to Yerushalayim or the Kotel in a month or whatever it is.
Close. I don't know about the Kotel Yerushalayim, but along those lines, if I haven't seen a friend in 30 days, I make a Shehechiyanu. So let's jump into the sources.
Wait, Rabbi, how about when you inherit? When Chas v'Shalom, a relative passes away and you are the heir to the estate?
Beautiful question. We're going to get there. Hold on. Right. So here we go. Gemara in Sukkah says, "Ha'uslu lovely atzma omer baruch atah Hashem Elokim le'cholam shechiyana v'kimana v'giyana v'zman hazeh." Somebody who prepares a lulav for themselves is the mitzvah of lulav. Says a shechiyanu. Right. Nitalo latzeisbo omer, and he says this is the bracha on lulav. Good. Right. V'avva pisha berach alav yom rishon chozer mivarech kol shiva ha'osa sukkah liatzma. Omer baruch atah Hashem Elokim le'cholam shechiyana v'kimana v'giyana le'zman hazeh. You make a sukkah, so the halach is we don't say the shechiyana when we make the sukkah. We say it when we sit in the sukkah. But this is the source for making brachos on the performance of mitzvos. When we take our lulav, we make the bracha on lulav, and we say a shechiyana. When we sit in the sukkah, we make leishev basukkah, and we say shechiyana. Good. That's one instance of saying shechiyana. The Gemara and Eruvin asked the following question: the Amar Rabba, ki havena be Rav Huna, ibaylan mahu lomar zman berosh hashanah v'yom kippurim. Do we say zman? Zman. Note the name of this bracha. It throughout halachic literature, throughout the Gemara, this bracha is referred to as zman, time. It's a reference to the bracha of shechiyanu that ends right with the words right, la zman. Hazeh. So the question was asked, do we say a shehechayanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And here are the two options. Kevan de mizman lizman asay amrina. O dilma kevan de lo ikru regalim lo amrina. So perhaps, because this is a holiday which comes at certain times, at a certain time, once a year, we should say it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Or perhaps it's not like the other regalim, and we only say shehechiyanu on the regalim. So we have from this source already that there's a separate inyan, there's a separate idea of saying a bracha on a regal. On one of our Yom Tovim, the question is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur included? And so the Gemara continues, Ki asai bei Rav Yehuda amar ana akara chadeta nami amena zman. And so when he came to the house of Rav Yehuda said, I make a bracha, right? Every time I eat a new pumpkin, every time I have a pumpkin for the first time in the year, I make a shehechiyanu. So of course I would make it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Amri lei, rishus la kamibayli, ki kamibayli chova mai. And so I said to him, no, I understand you can make a shehechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I'm wondering whether one has to. Amarli Rav Shmuel de Amri Tavayo eino merzman, ela b'sholosh regalim. And so in the name of Rav and Shmuel, they said, no, only on the regalim, not on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Gemara, though, ultimately concludes, v'hilchasa omer zman, b'ro shashana v'yom kippurim, v'hilchasa zman, omro afilu b'shuk. The Gemara concludes that, in fact, we do say, shehechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? And we can say it even in the shuk at any point, right, over the course of Yontif. So here we have actually the source of two different types of shehechiyanu. We have the shehechiyanu of the regel of Yom Tif, which we now know includes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we have the shehechiyanu on a new fruit, on a new, here it is, it's a gourd, right? It's a pumpkin of sorts, right? But we have the source for both. So far we've seen three different instances for shehechiyanu. We've seen shehechiyanu on a mitzvah, like lulav and sukkah. We see a separate conversation about shehechiyanu around a yontif. And we see, for the first time, this idea of a bracha on a new fruit. Now, when that is brought down lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, it reads as follows. Haro'eh pri chadash mischadesh mishana lishana mevarech shehechiyanu. Someone who sees a new fruit that renews itself from year to year should recite a shehechiyanu. Is that what we normally do?
No.
No? Why not? What do?
When we eat it.
Okay, excellent. Right? We generally make that bracha, and the Shulchan Aruch continues, v'nahagu shelo levarech ad sha'as achila. The prevalent minhag, says the Shulchan Aruch, is that we wait until we eat it to say the shehechiyanu, but it's important, and it will become important for the course of this shir to note that the original statement of this halacha is not that one makes a that one makes a okay, good question about the, I see it now, about the, about on vegetables. It's true. That is not the the prevalent minhag right today. We do not say it on Adama, only on our fruit. But note again that the source for this is something which is mischadesh mishana lishana, right? Something which comes from year to year. And the original articulation is that I make the bracha when I see it, not necessarily when I eat it. Okay. I see Jennifer has a hand up. Good question.
Oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. I just had a question. Let's say you enjoy saying Shehekianu, right? But can you go choose a fruit in order to say Shehekianu, or you come upon the fruit and say, I feel like this, or it's been given to you? Can you...
So it would seem that you can certainly seek out a fruit which you've not had in the course of a year, right, in order to make a Shehecheyanu on it. We actually have sources that there were Rabbanim who did this. They would save money in order to go and buy various things which they had not had in order to make a Shehecheyanu. The question of whether I can make a Shehecheyanu just because I feel like making a Shehecheyanu, right? That's a little more complicated. Yeah. And we'll see some of that a little bit later on.
Okay, thanks so much.
My pleasure. And the Gemara in Brachos, the second source that you have in front of you, says as follows: Al Gishamim v'al Besoros Tovos Omer Baruch Hatov v'Hametiv. So Rabbi Kalman was referring to earlier that Geshem, generally speaking, we hope is Levracha, and here we're talking about Geshem that is Levracha, not Leklala, when we have good rains, not the kind that some of you have experienced. Right? On those and on good news, we make a Bracha of Hatov v'Hametiv. Al Besoros Raos Omer Baruch Dayan Emes. Right, on bad news, we make the bracha that we acknowledging that Hashem is the true judge, right? And then continues bana bayis chadash v'kana kelim chadashim omer baruch ata Hashem lakim lecholam shtechiyanu v'kimanu v'kiyanu lezman hazeh. Somebody who purchases a new house or purchases new vessels, makes this bracha of Shehecheyanu, v'kimanu v'giyanu lezman hazeh. So that is now instance number four. We have regalim, we have mitzvos, we have a new fruit, and now we learn that when you buy something new, a house or new vessels, one makes a Shehecheyanu as well. Good, and now the Gemara on the bottom of the page, it says Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Haroes Chaveiro Leachar Shloshim Yom Omer Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Mechlam Shechianu V'kimanu V'kiyanu Lezman Hazeh. Friend whom you have not seen for 30 days, and now you see them. Here too, you make the bracha of Shechianu V'kimanu V'kiyanu Lezman Hazeh. Good. So, what do we have in front of us? We have actually six different instances. Right. Good news. Again, generally we make Hatovei Ametiv. Sometimes we will make a Shehecheyanu. But six different instances in which we will say a bracha of Shehecheyanu, right? On a mitzvos, on a yom tov, on a new fruit. Again, sometimes on good news, on a new purchase, and on seeing a friend. So my question to you is, what do these have in common? What is the rule? What's the underlying principle that obligates me to say the bracha of Shehecheyanu? What would you say?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Anytime that I'm grateful, I make a Shehecheyanu? Somebody gives me a loan, I say Shehecheyanu?
No.
I see Alana Lubin suggests renewal. Okay.
Maybe to make sure that we acknowledge that this is coming from Hashem, not anything that we've made or given man-made.
So let me ask you something. On the bracha, before I blow shofar, right, I make a bracha, asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. But now in addition to that, I also have to make a bracha, shehecheyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. Right, I understand your approach when it comes to a new fruit, right? I make a bracha on the fruit also, right? Acknowledging it came from Hashem. So why a Shehecheyanu?
Well, something to do with Zman, the time? I don't know.
Okay. There's certainly those who thought so. I see Zev put in the chat, Simcha. Okay, good. Right. So let's take Simcha.
If you look at the words of the bracha itself, right, that somehow we have been sustained to reach this moment.
Yeah. There's something there, right? There's something there that seems to be, right, trying to teach us something, and we're going to hopefully be able to tease that out, right, as we get to the end. But let's work with Zev's suggestion here that the underlying principle here is simcha, right, which is certainly the approach that many of our Rishonim and Achronim have taken. Of the six that are on here, which one is perhaps the most difficult to fit into that framework? What would you say? If happiness is the common thread,
mitzvah.
Okay, great. Okay, mitzvah. Right? I would agree. Right? So Zev points out there's an idea of simcha shel mitzvah, but sometimes some mitzvahs seem to lend themselves more than others to the idea of happiness. And in fact, right, when the Rambam tries to, and we know the Rambam was all about creating clarity and organization, right, and putting various disparate pieces of halacha together to create, right, a coherent whole. And when he describes which mitzvah we say a shehechianu on, you can almost hear him struggling to create some sort of coherent principle behind this. Listen to his words. Kol mitzvah shehi mizman lizman. Any mitzvah that comes from time to time. Kigon shofar v'sukkah v'lulav, umikra megillah v'ner chanukah. Right. So any mitzvah that comes from time to time. V'chein kol mitzvah u'mitzvah shehi kinyan lo. Kigon titis u'tfilin u'mezizah u'makah. And also any mitzvah which involves an acquisition of some sort, like tzitzis or tefillin or mezuzah or creating a railing around your roof. V'chein mitzvah she'ena tadira, ve'ena mitzuya, v'choles. And also a mitzvah which doesn't happen very often and isn't always there. Sharehi domel mitzvah shehi mizman lizman. Because it's sort of like a mitzvah that comes from time to time. Kin kom milas beno u'pidyur abein. On those we say a shechianu. Now, by the way, you may note that we don't pasken exactly like the Rambam here. We don't say a shechianu on a mila, right, which is going to become important in a moment. Right? But can you hear the Rambam almost struggling here to put these various mitzvos together? Like, which mitzvahs do we say it and which mitzvahs don't? And so he has to come up with this principle that says anything that's from time to time or involves acquisition or it isn't exactly from time to time, but it's not so routine that it's sort of like it's time to time. Those are the mitzvahs that we say shehechianu. It's a little difficult. Now, Tosfos, on the other hand, says it very clearly, exactly as Zev suggested, that first of all, he asks our question. Amazing how he asked our question, right? Ha'o says sukkah li'atzmo, mevarich shehechianu, says Tosfos. Tzarech lefarish tam, maishna di'esh mitzvos shetakinu levarich shehechianu, v'yesh mitzvos shelo takinu. Says Tosfos very clearly. I can't quite understand it. There are some mitzvos where we do say shehechianu, and there are some mitzvos where we don't. For example, v'asiyah sukkah v'lulav takinu k'da eshkechan hacha. V'asiyah tzitzis u'tfilin lo takinu. It says, according to Tosfos, that when you make your sukkah or you take your lulav, you are supposed to shechianu. But when you make tzitzis or you make tfilin, again, different than the Rambam, he says you don't say a shechianu. Why not? Tosfos wants to know. Ultimately, Tosos comes to the following conclusion and writes, "V'nira de mitzvah sheyesh alecha simcha tiknu shehechianu." He says, "A mitzvah that has that in it that for which simcha is an integral part, for which happiness is a critical part of this mitzvah, there we say shehechianu, and those for which simcha is not an integral part, right? It is not something that we say shehechianu on. And to prove the point, Tosfos in a different place, Tosfos in Eruvin, right, notes that whereas we make a shehechianu on pidyon haben, on the redeeming of the firstborn, we do not make a bracha of shehechianu on mila. Why not? If the whole idea behind shehechianu is simcha, so why wouldn't you make it at a bris mila?
Because it's intrinsically simcha.
Oh, say it better. I mean, that's nice. But
same reason we don't say hallel on the last days of Pesach. Somebody suffered for us to be happy.
Because it's painful.
Right, Tzar. Right. We've all been to the bris and heard the baby crying. Right?
It's just painful.
Hard. Yeah, and you know, and you, so you can argue a baby doesn't feel anesthetic, whatever it might be. It's hard to say to make a bracha on happiness, right? When you hear
it's
that
part
child
of obligation in the Brit.
Sorry?
It's part of our obligation in the Brit. I meant to say the Brit Bein HaBetarim. I mean covenant with Hashem.
Okay, but that so doesn't mean we have to feel happy, right, at that moment, right? Yeah. And hence, according again to Ashkenazim, we do not say a shehechianu at a bris mila. Okay, so that would suggest that even in the performance of mitzvos, at least according to Tosfos, we can stick with what we're going to call the happiness hypothesis, right? And that, in fact, what all of these have in common, it is this idea that, in fact, engenders a sense of happiness. It involves a sense of happiness. Good. That's the end of our shiur, right? We now understand the mystery of Shehechian. Or do we? First of all, it's important to note that there are halachic implications if this is, in fact, the case. Right. If what is at the core and the root of Shehechianu is simcha, right, there are ramifications with regard to our halachic practice. So let's look at two of them. The first one would be a case of doubt, meaning, let's say I've got a case where I'm not sure if I should say Shehechianu or not. Let's say I can't quite remember if I had this fruit over the course of the last year. I know it's been a while, but has it been a year? Maybe it's been 11 months. Right? Maybe it's been 10, I'm not sure. What if I'm not 100% sure if this is the kind of purchase that requires a shehechianu or doesn't? What if I can't remember if I've seen my friend, was it 29 days or was it 30 days? I'm not sure if I should make the bracha or not. So normally, when it comes to a bracha, when we're not sure if we should make it or not, anybody know what the rule is?
Don't make it.
Always we don't make it. Why don't we make it? Because to say the bracha, that's a mitzvah dirabana. Right? That's a rabbinic enactment that we should make a bracha on this particular act. But to take Hashem's name in vain, that is a biblical prohibition. Right? So if we have to weigh potentially taking God's name in vain versus saying the rabbinic enactment of a blessing, we always opt, don't say it, right, lest you come to take God's name in vain. However, when it comes to Shehechianu, the Bach, interestingly, Rav Yoel Sirkis in the 16th century, interestingly argues that actually, no, when it comes to Shehechianu is different. If you're not sure whether to say a Shehechianu, but you feel happy about this occasion, then go ahead, gesum to hate, say a Shehechianu. Thank God, Shehechianu v'kimanu v'kiyanu l'zman hazeh. Thank God for having brought you to this moment. Let's look at it inside. Aval lefi ani yazdaiti de'ika lechalek ben birkas Shehechianu l'sha'ar brachas. De birkas Shehechianu sheba'a al simchas libo shel adam. Yachal levarich, afal pi she'enu vadai dechayev levarich. De'enu over alotisa im hus sameach. Umavorich lo yisale al shehechiyanu al shehechiyehu v'kiyomo. Right, anazman azeh. Says the Bach, this is fundamentally different than all other mitzvot. If you're actually feeling happy, since the core of Shehecheyanu is happiness, and I'm feeling happy about eating this new fruit, whether it was 11 months or it was 12 months, if I'm feeling happy about seeing this particular friend, whether it was 30 days or it was 29 days, but I'm feeling good about it, then what's wrong with saying, blessed are you, Hashem, who kept me alive and sustained me and brought me to this moment? That's certainly not a transgression of taking Hashem's name in vain, says the Bach, because at its core is this idea of happiness. A second implication, this is the Shulchan Aruch with regard to the laws of the 3 weeks. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tov li zacher mi lomar shehechiyanu bein hamitzari al pri o al mabush. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we should be careful when it comes to the 3 weeks not to say a shehechiyanu on a pre, on a fruit, or on new clothing. Why? What do we know about the 3 weeks? Say it again. Okay, it's a time of tzar. It's a time of avelut, right? It's a time of mourning. Mishe nichnas av mimaatim be
simcha.
Simcha. When av comes in, right? We have less. We're supposed to take ourselves back in terms of the amount of the amount of happiness that we have. This is a sad time between Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And so if in fact Shehecheyanu is all about happiness, it's all about things that make us happy, so it would make sense, right? That during these 3 weeks, we should avoid such things. Now, before we go on, does anybody notice there's something peculiar about the way the Shulchan Aruch stated this particular halacha? Does it strike anyone as, would there have been a clearer way to say this? Okay, there's someone who is not muted. No? Anything jump out at you?
He doesn't expressly forbid it. He just says it's good to be careful not to recite it.
Okay. He doesn't expressly forbid it. He says it's good to avoid, but good to avoid what?
Expressing happiness when we should be mourning.
But wouldn't we have expected the Shulchan Aruch say, Tov li zaher milechol pri chadash o mililbosh beger chadash, which would then, of course, generate the need for a shehechiyanu, right? In other words, it seems to be, if the act is what generates simcha, right, then don't do these acts during this time period. And these are acts which happen to involve a shehechiyanu, but refrain from those acts, right? The fact that the Shulchan Aruch writes, refrain from saying a shehechiyanu, is something to think about.
Simcha,
okay, we're going to come.
The simcha is that they're a mitzvah, not.
Yeah. These aren't mitzvahs. Eating a new fruit's not a mitzvah.
No, but the mitzvah, it is a mitzvah to say the Shehecheyanu. So yeah. You're happy that you have the opportunity of performing the mitzvah of saying Shehecheyanu.
Hard, because we perform other mitzvahs between, right, during the 3 weeks. And I am going to say a bracha on the fruit. I'm just not going to say a shehechiyanu. Okay, good. We're going to come back to it. But for right now, these are two different implications. If in fact, right, the core of this idea is happiness, we understand, right? We understand why, if you're in a case of doubt, perhaps you would say it anyway, unlike other mitzvos, right? We understand why in the 3 weeks you should refrain from saying a shehechiyanu, because at the core of this idea is the notion, right? Of of happiness. Zev, I see your question. According to the Bach, can we say Shehechiano on a fruit we enjoy every time we say it? It's not a crazy conclusion. It is not a crazy conclusion from the language of the Bach. And by the way, many hold that with regard to a fruit, you're in the category of reshus to begin with, right? So there does seem to be a little bit more flexibility than perhaps in some other areas like Shehechiyanu on Yantif. Okay. But as I said before, this is not as simple as it seems. Right? This happiness hypothesis, as we'll call it, struggles to stand up to a whole variety of other halachic sources, as well as circumstances that we might be able to create. And so let's take a look at a variety of ways in which I think the happiness hypothesis comes under question. The Gemara in Brachos, which we saw before, which started by saying that one who buys a new house or acquires new vessels, it should say a Shehechiyana. Now, the Gemara has a long and complicated conversation there about exactly what kinds of new vessels require a Shehechiyana. But I'm going to share with you just one potential possibility of how we read this Gemara that's brought down there, because we have to understand where everybody is coming from. The Gemara says, "Vika diamri, Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela shelo kana v'chazar v'kana, aval kana v'chazar v'kana ein sarich levarich." We're trying to establish where is there machlokas, where is there dispute around whether we should say a Shehechiyanu or not. So here's one way of reading it, is that according to Rav Huna, right, the machlokas, right, is around a case of kana v'chazar v'kana, a case where I already acquired this object, and now I'm acquiring it again. So here we're talking about not a case where I inherited perhaps an object and now I'm buying it for the first time, but an object that I actually went out and bought once and now I'm buying it again. Do I have to say a Shehechiyanu? Rav Huna says no. He says no. It'd be one thing if you've never had it before. For sure you have to make a Shehechiyanu. And it's even another thing if you inherited it, but now you're actually acquiring it for the first time. You have to make a Shehechiyanu. But something that you've already purchased, you don't have to make a Shehechiyanu on that. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Kana Chazar V'Kana Tzarich Levarich. Rabbi Yochanan, according to this opinion, says, no, even if I've not just had it, but I've bought it before, I still need to make a Shehechiyanu. So let's take a case, right, of the Rolex. I don't own a Rolex, right? But I imagine that for those, right, who purchase a Rolex, it's a pretty monumental moment, right, in your life. And I would imagine even that somebody who inherited a Rolex, they had one, but got to a point in their careers, you know, they're sufficiently earning enough money that they're able to acquire one for themselves. Good shine. It creates a certain sense of happiness, right? The achievement that they haven't had before. Okay, good. Right? But let's say I already was able to purchase one. And now I purchased a second and a third and a fourth. I have to imagine that at a certain point, right, this is like, it becomes like nothing to me. Right, what's the big deal? It's another watch. I don't wear a watch that isn't a Rolex at a certain point. So no, what's another one? So if the issue is happiness, understanding Rabbi Yochanan according to this reading is hard. Right, that even if I not just had something, but I've already purchased something, the same thing, and I'm purchasing it again, I still have to make a Shehechiyanu. It's perhaps a little bit difficult. All right, next question. When it comes to mitzvos, so we said before that the Tosos had said that that mitzvos that involve simcha, right, are the mitzvos that we say Shehechiyanu on. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya. Chayv levarich kodem sheyechasa asher kiddushanum misosav tzivanu al kisu idam be'afar. We're talking about shechting for karbanos, and we know that there is a halacha that we have to cover the blood. Says the Rama, Misha Shachar Pam Harishon Mevarich Shehechianu Al Hakisoi Avalo Al Hashchitz of the Mazik Liberia. Says the Rama, the first time a Kohen does this kind of Shechita and he covers the blood, he has to say a Shehechianu. Really? I mean, that's a Simchadek mitzvah, covering the blood of an animal that you just slaughtered. And the Rama himself says that on the Shechita itself, you don't say it because you're hurting this animal. Covering blood involves simcha? I don't know. Let's go to Yontif. So Yontif, we all understood, it seemed to make so much sense, right? Yontif has a specific halacha of being of simcha, and whether that is true for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also, that's a whole nother shir. But there's an Indian of simcha on Yontif. But let's be realistic for a moment. Monday night, you've just been preparing for Rosh Hashanah, since Shabbos, since Motzei Shabbos, all day Sunday, all day Monday. Or you've been at work all day Monday. Well, those of you who are in the States, it's Labor Day, so maybe you're not. So maybe this year it's a little easier. But you finally come to the Rosh Hashanah table and you're about to make Kiddush. Are you already happy? Is the happiness there? In other words, I understand that over the course of Yontif, I'm supposed to do things, sit with my family, right? Go to shul, learn Torah, do things that will cause happiness. I get that. But to make a bracha on happiness now, right as Yontif starts, I haven't even had any Yontif yet. Right? It's just coming in. Am I already sufficiently happy to make a bracha on happiness? Somebody asked me about inheritance. So this, if the others didn't convince you that the Simcha hypothesis was in trouble, this one certainly should. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Meis Aviv Mevarich Dayan Ha'emes. Father passed away, you learn that your father passed away, you make the bracha of Dayan Ha'emes. Hayalo Mamon Sheyorsho, Im Ein Lo Achim Mevarich Gam Kein Shehechianu. What? You learn that your father passed away, but it happens to be that he had some money and you inherit it, and you have to say a shechianu. I mean, can we possibly imagine that this is supposed to be a moment of simcha? We're supposed to be rejoicing? I mean, halacha is so incredibly sensitive when it comes to issues of death and avelus and grieving. How could a halacha possibly suggest we're supposed to be happy at the moment? Go ahead.
Perhaps this is really more a literal rendering of the bracha that we thank God that we are alive to mourn our parents, as opposed to chas v'shalom, a parent being alive to mourn a child. To recognize that is also something we take for granted, but wasn't taken for granted then.
Okay, I like that. And I like it particularly because, as we're going to mention in a moment, the bracha doesn't actually say anything about simcha, right? It's not there, right? And that's, I think, is important. We're going to get there in just a moment. Let me give you the following scenario. There's a man, we'll call him Joe. Joe is a middle-aged man, goes to his doctor for his annual physical. Doctor takes some blood, gets back to him a little bit later, says, Joe, we got to change some things. Your cholesterol is too high. You're getting to the point where it's dangerous. You need to start changing the way you eat. Doc says to Joe, listen, I know you love a good steak, but you just can't do it anymore. You just can't do it. And so Joe comes home, talks to his wife, and says, listen, this is what the doctor said. I've got to make some changes. No red meat for me from here on. I'm going to cut it out of my diet completely. I love red meat, but I'm not going to do it. And it was hard for the first couple of weeks and then the first couple of months, but he stuck with it. You know, the temptation came and his resolve held steady, and he made his way through the year without ever touching a piece of steak. Comes a year later, and his wife says to him, listen, you know, you've done so beautifully on this diet. And look, you're slim, your numbers are down. It's okay, let's go out once and let's celebrate. And you'll have the dinner you love. Let's you know, indulge for one night, and then you'll go back on your diet. And so Joe thinks this is a fantastic idea. They make a reservation at the local steakhouse. They go to the restaurant. They sit down. He orders the juiciest steak on the menu. The waiter brings it to him, and Joe is in heaven. I mean, simcha. This is a simcha. So he's about to take a bite of this juicy steak. Does he make a shehechianu? Putting the bach aside for a moment. Does he make a shehechianu? Do we make shehechianus on steak?
He might.
We don't. We don't. We don't make a bracha on meat. We don't make a shehechianu on meat. We don't. Even though he's incredibly happy and he hasn't had it in a year. We don't make a bracha. We don't make a shehechianu on a steak. So he finishes his steak, and it was absolutely delicious. He loved every piece of it. He cleans the plate. And of course, right, he's not going to let a good opportunity go by. He's going to have dessert too. He's already having a steak. He may as well have a dessert, right? And so he looks at the dessert menu, and he sees this incredibly described parve ice cream banana split. What better way to finish the evening than to have this parve ice cream banana split? And so he orders it, and it comes, and it's beautiful and gorgeous. And he digs in. Does he make a shehechianu on the pot of ice cream?
I think I would go for yes.
Well, not on the ice cream, but before he takes that bite of the ice cream, he notices
the banana.
The star fruit. Right, there it is on the side of his ice cream. Now he says, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehechiyanu V'Kiyamanu V'Higiyanu L'Zman Hazeh. Amazing. There's the simcha, right? Forget about the steak. Forget about the ice cream, but the star fruit. Ooh, that's the real simcha.
But wait, can you make a Shehechiyanu if he's technically now just mixed milk with meat?
No, it's a pie of ice cream, pie of ice cream. Sorry, I made that really clear. Right? Pie of ice cream.
Pie of ice cream. Sorry, I didn't think you said that word. Yeah, I thought you said a pint of ice cream. Sorry.
No. Okay, so again, if the mechayev, if the what triggers the shehechiyanu is happiness, then something's off in this equation. It's off because Joe was really happy when he got that steak. And he was pretty happy when he got the ice cream. The star fruit, that he could have done without. But there, all of a sudden, he's chayav to make a shehechiyanu. And now the question that we raised earlier. If, in fact, this is a bracha on simcha, why not say so? Why not say something about simcha in this bracha? And after all, we have brachos where we make it very clear that this is about simcha. Right? This comes from the Sheva Brachos. Sameach tesamach, reyim ha'ovim kisameichacha yitzircha beganeinu mikedev, baruch ata Hashem misameach asamekala. Blessed are you, Hashem, who makes the bridegroom and bride happy. Let's make a similar bracha. If this is all about happiness, let's make a bracha. Thank you, Hashem, for making me happy. And what's also strange is that at one of our happiest moments, we don't say a shehechiyanu. Now, Sfaradim, generally, some Sfaradim do, but many have the custom that they wear something new under the chuppah, and that, so that their shehechiyanu is actually on the new clothing, not on the wedding itself. Now, I don't want to get too far into it, but there are some pretty interesting things that we can find in our Rishonim and Achronim about why we don't say a shehechiyanu. You know, perhaps perhaps we're not even sure, we're not sure how this is going to work out. People are a little nervous, right? So it's not time to say a Shechayana yet. Okay. Right? But we do make a bracha on Simcha at that moment. But the one time where we're making a bracha on Simcha, we don't make a bracha on, we don't say Shechayana. All right. So those are our questions. Right? Are we really happy enough to make a bracha? Right? When we purchase something we already have, the Rolex case. Are we actually experiencing happiness at the moment of Kiddush as Yontif begins? Is covering as Kisui Hadam really something that involves Simcha? Are we happy enough to warn a bracha at the moment that we've learned that our parents have died, we're supposed to make a Shehecheinu? That's a moment of Simcha. How could it possibly be? Right? Are we actually happier about the star fruit when we were about the steak, if in fact this is all about happiness? And if it's about happiness, why isn't it in the bracha? And in fact, the bracha, as we noted earlier, when referred to in halachic literature, in the Gemara in particular, is always referred to as zman. Meaning there seems to be something about time that is a determinant factor in Shehecheyanu, and we know that for some cases, right, it's something which comes from time to time, but not always. And so what is the role of time, and why doesn't it specifically say something about happiness? Right? And why is it that the one time that we actually do make a bracha on happiness, we don't say a Shehecheyanu? All right. So let me offer perhaps a slightly different approach. I think it answers some of our questions. Shehecheyanu and the sugya of Shehecheyanu is more complex than everything I've brought here. Do I think it answers everything? Probably not. But even if it doesn't, I think it's worth thinking about and will hopefully enhance our experience of the upcoming Yom Tovim nonetheless. The approach I want to suggest requires our taking a moment outside of our Masorah and then coming back in. So as I'm sure many of you know, over the last 20 years or so, there has been a whole area of research that has emerged around, first around areas of mindfulness, right? And then an entire area known as positive psychology. Mindfulness, that is the idea of being present, has been studied quite extensively. And here you see one particular study on the benefits of being present. And in the introduction to this piece, these researchers write that mindfulness captures a quality of consciousness that is characterized by clarity and vividness of current experience. Mindfulness means a vividness of current experience, of being here. And they write that it's long been associated with well-being enhancement, and it may also contribute to well-being and happiness in a direct way. This is what they set out to study. The conclusion writes that our hope is that the present research nourishes this trend because it indicates that mindfulness is a reliably and validly measured characteristic that has a significant role to play in a variety of aspects of mental health. They set out to study whether the act of being present impacts one's mental state, one's emotional well-being, and concluded that in fact it does. Tal Ben Shachar is probably the best known professor in the area of positive psychology today. He is an Israeli, taught for many years at Harvard. I believe he's back in Israel today. In this book, Happier, he sets out a different archetype, different paradigms for those who pursue happiness, one of which ultimately land in failure. One of them being what he calls the rat racer. The rat racer is the person who is always running to something else, always thinking about the next thing, is delaying any sort of gratification because there's always something next. There's always something else I have to do, someplace else I have to be, something else I have to attain. And says Tal Ben Shachar, one actually cannot achieve happiness in that mindset. As Thoreau says, he writes, however, life is too short to be in a hurry. If we are always on the go, we are reacting to the exigencies of day-to-day life rather than allowing ourselves the space to create a happy life. To be happy requires carving out space. Now, it's not just that. He says it's a combination of pleasure and meaning. Pleasure, though, can only be experienced when one is present. One doesn't experience pleasure if you're always thinking about what's next and thinking about what's coming. Pleasure itself alone is hedonism, he says, but pleasure with meaning, with some sense of purpose. So being present, but also understanding that I'm part of something, I'm something bigger, is what creates happiness. Now, what is the bracha that we've been talking about? The bracha is not a bracha on happiness. It's a bracha on
time.
Time. But not just time. What time?
Present.
The present moments time.
That make up our lives. The happy moments that make up our lives.
Is yes, but true? No. Right? The bracha time. The bracha very specifically is about zman ha-zeh. It's about
this time,
about being in this moment. And in fact, there's almost a mantra, right? The language of the bracha is quite different than most others. Shehechianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu. It's as, almost as if we're trying to build a mental state of being bezman hazeh. And if that in fact is the case, let me make the following suggestion. Again, take it, leave it. We'll see how it works or doesn't with our other sources. But here's the suggestion. Is it possible that sometimes we don't say Shehechianu because we're happy, but we're happy because we say Shehechianu? That is, by creating a state of mindfulness, by being present, which is what Shehechianu, the function of Shehechianu, is to take us off the hamster wheel, to take us out of the rat race, out of thinking what's next, what's coming, where am I going, and placing us in the here and now to perhaps appreciate things that I wouldn't have otherwise appreciated. By doing that, I become happy. I create the space for that is necessary to actually experience simcha. So let's take that back to the questions that we had. Are we happy enough to warrant a bracha when we purchase something we already have? Perhaps we aren't left on our own. But if we take a moment to become present and say, you know what, this may be my fourth Rolex, but look at this. I'm capable, right? Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. I'm able to do this, right? Then it will create a sense of simcha, a sense of appreciation for what I have. Are we happy the moment Yom Tov begins? Probably not. We're tired. We've been cooking all day. We've been at work all day. We just made it to Mincha on time. We're, you know, perhaps, but what's the function of Shehechianu? To create the simcha, to say, wait a minute. I'm going to put all that aside and come lezman hazeh, focus in on my family that's sitting around this table. Focus in on what I'm about to do. Be present. Don't go into that yontif meal thinking about work, thinking about the deadline that's coming up after yontif. Be here, because that will help create the happiness. Is covering, is kisoy hadam a bracha that involves simcha? I don't know, but could it? Can we create this moment as a moment of appreciation for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us and the lifestyle that he's given us and the opportunity for kabanos? We could. At the moment of our parents' death, are we supposed to be happy? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's what Chazal meant, right? When they said, make a bracha, right, if there's a Yerusha. What do they mean? They mean that in this moment of grief, right, if there is something that you can appreciate, if there is something there, right, that you should be grateful for, make a bracha that will help you identify that moment, that piece of this experience, right, which is worth noting, which is worth having gratitude, rather than being swept away by the grief. Take a moment and say, you know what? I'm not supposed to be happy here, but I'm supposed to be present and know that there are some things here, right? That may in fact, right, be good. What about the star fruit? Let me take you back to the beginning of this year. When are we supposed to make a bracha on a new fruit? What was the original articulation of that halacha?
Do you remember? First time in a year.
The first time you?
In a year. The first time you eat it.
That? You said eat it.
No, it's to see it.
Oh, right? Okay, good, right? The initial articulation of this was when you see a fruit, right, that comes back year. It seems that what Chazal had in mind here wasn't necessarily the joy, the pleasure of eating. It was that there is a special moment when a fruit comes back into bloom, when that tree has been desolate for an entire year, right? No signs of life. And all of a sudden, without much doing, and this is different than other crops. Somebody brought up vegetables before. This is different. A tree is different, right? Than crops that I've sowed and I've toiled and I've worked at. The tree pretty much produces that fruit on its own. Right? When that fruit comes back into bloom, the point is not that I'm overjoyed, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to stop and notice it. Notice that fruit on the tree. And say she'echiyanu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh, because I might miss it otherwise. The steak I'm not going to miss. Right? That's not what the bracha is about. The bracha is about creating a mindfulness, about being present at a particular time that will create simcha, right, as a result. Why do we make the bracha on time rather than happiness? Well, that's it. Because it is about time. It's about this time. It's about being in this time, which is ultimately a facilitator for the happiness that comes. And why don't we make a bracha, right, during a wedding? So perhaps one could say you don't need it. Perhaps you don't need it. Now, either because you've already made a bracha on Simcha and the Sheva Brachos, perhaps, but perhaps this isn't for all, right? All the moments in our lives, the one in which we're probably going to be the most present, the one in which we're there and experiencing joy may be our wedding, and perhaps therefore we don't need to say this bracha. Now, is there any source for this? Is there any grounding in our texts for this? So I'll take you back to a question that I raised earlier and suggest maybe, right? This is what's going on there, and that is the Shulchan Aruch about the threes. Remember, I noted this was, his language was a little bit strange. He says, you shouldn't say a shehechianu during the 3 weeks. He didn't say, don't buy a new fruit or don't wear new clothing. He said, don't make a shehechianu on those things. Now, the Mishnah Berurah immediately jumps in and says, well, of course, what he means is don't eat a fruit, a new fruit that would require you to say a shehechianu, and don't buy new clothing that would require you, right, to make a shehechianu. But the Sha'arei Tshuva brings down something different. He notes, and I'm not exactly sure, I think he's citing of Shmuel Vital, that Shmuel Vital noted, right, that at his father's house, the great Chaim Vital, he remembers that Chachamim would come together during the 3 weeks and he would encourage them to eat new fruits during the 3 weeks, but not say Ashechiyan. Why? Perhaps this is the reason. If a shehechianu is not said over simcha, if the act itself isn't necessarily a happy one, but the bracha creates the simcha, then perhaps I can do those things. I'm not passing lahalacha here, right? But perhaps I can do those things during the 3 weeks because those things don't actually create simcha without the shehechianu. The simcha comes about because I've made the shehechianu. Without the shehechianu, there is no simcha. And therefore, perhaps these things are allowed as long as I don't make a shehechianu along with them. Again, I don't know that that's exactly what's being said here. And I can't be 100% sure, right, that this is in fact what Chazal had in mind when it came to shehechianu. But what I do know is as follows. I do know that this can be incredibly powerful, right, and incredibly enriching for us and for our experience of these mitzvahs. If, in fact, we understand, as we get into Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah night, and as we hear the shofar for the first time during Rosh Hashanah day, and as we come to eat the new fruit on the second night, that each time we say Hashem Hechianu, what we are doing is we are allowing ourselves and we are to be present in the moment, to come to this moment, Lazman Hazeh, to take everything else that happened earlier in the day or that's coming up in the days to come, put that aside and allow us to zone in and be mindful about the experience that we're having. I do think that it will ultimately help us to create the simcha, to create the joy that is intended by this bracha of Shechayanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lezman hazeh. May this be an upcoming Yantif season filled with joy for all of us, and may we all see the type of joy and happiness that is intended by this bracha, right, so that we come again next year to these brachos and can say once again that we're back, Shechayanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lezman hazeh.
Thank you very much, Yasher Koach. We, of course, do not say a Shechianu on learning Torah. We don't even make a bracha on learning Torah. I love that the Tosfot, you know, that explains you learn at 9 o'clock in the morning, then you don't learn again all day. You don't make another bracha on the learning because it's one continuum. One is theoretical learning. You go to the workplace, you're practicing your learning. Anyways, but thank you really for a very inspiring shiur, and I love that halacha, if I can say that, about inheriting money. I think the if you were to tell somebody to make a bracha on the death of parents because he became a multimillionaire, that'd be a terrible thing. So the halacha knows that you're a little happy. When a parent dies, kids don't want to admit it, but when they inherit a lot of money, it adds a little bit of comfort. It's not nice to say it. So our rabbis, I think, force us to make the bracha to recognize that reality. That's how I always understood the halacha. But anyways, that's okay. Enough of me. Anybody have any comments or any questions I'd like to ask for a minute or two? I think you got through all the questions pretty much as you were going through the shiur on the chat box. Otherwise, we'll thank you. Wish you a shana tova, k'tiva v'chatima tova. Thank you. And we look forward to learning with you again in the future. And good luck. Hatzlacha in Florida in your two new positions in Florida. Reb Gil is in the process of getting a school off the ground for gifted children. We'd be, I imagine, the first Jewish school like that in North America. I'm not aware of any. So much hatzlacha. And anyways, and enjoyed the weather.
I'd like to ask one.
Although
question.
Unfortunately, Florida gets lots of hurricanes. You know what they had in New York yesterday is a little unusual. Florida, I guess they're more prepared, but it's more common. But anyway,
I'd like to ask a question, if I may.
Yes, quickly, sure, Vakasha.
Anniversaries that we celebrate are as it were Birkot Zman. Would it be appropriate to make a Shechayanu if you were celebrating a wedding anniversary or even a birthday?
It's a good question. I have not seen that anywhere. And the act itself, like there, a commemoration of an act generally does not require does not engender a sheikh. You know, there would be an act that is new this year, right, that you're doing for the first time, right, that's what would create the Shechianu. But simply commemorating something which happened in the past, even if it's an anniversary thereof, is something that generally does not bring with the Shechianu. I apologize. I do have something else I have to run to. So it's been wonderful learning with all of you, and I look forward to doing it again.
Kasiva
Tova.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You are wonderful.
Thanks, Rav Gil. 1 p.m. in an hour, you can get a quick lunch. Rabbi Ari Shvat will talking about Orot HaTshuvah, his series on Orot HaTshuvah of Cook, and then 8:30 tonight, Rabbi Shlomo Gemara, Parshat Nitzavim, and I, that's invited. And tomorrow morning, 9:30, the last of the series of Pirkei Avot for this summer. And I see somebody put in a question. I know most people have left already. Vaccines, Shechianu vaccines. And I guess it's unfortunate we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I will say, for whatever it's worth, I did make a Shechianu when I got my vaccine, and there was some discussion to make a Tova Meitiv Shechianu, different brachot, any brachot. But yes, I think so. That's a very interesting thing. We'll have to leave for next time. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. And we hope to see you soon. Two more opportunities here in the Zoom Torah in Motion Beit Midrash. And we look forward to learning with you. Thank you, everybody.